Renee here at Unsupervised Learning, your easy listening podcast for bleeding edge open source tech.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you? It's as if we have just met for the first time.
Absolutely. And like I didn't harass you and your co-founder who refuses to connect with me on LinkedIn, which is fine because I was very threatening. I don't know how I came across Vappy. It was a recommendation from someone. They were like, hey, look at this. And I did. And it, like I said to you, it's like, to me, a non-technical person, like the Scarlett Johansson, her, like the typical assistant. So I've asked, her name is Jennifer, right? The voice that you give her?
Yeah, that's Jennifer from PlayHD.
Yeah, I've asked Jennifer what she can help me with. And so it's a developer tool. I want to go all the way back. Hello, Jordan. You're a co-founder at Vappy. And you were previously Superpowered.
Yeah. We were previously an AI note taker, worked on that for like 3 years, and then decided voice AI is kind of a lot more, a much harder technical problem. And I think we were less excited with calendars.
So I want to talk about latency, which, what is latency?
That's a great place to start. I mean, latency is, in industry, latency is usually like over the internet, like when you're talking over the phone or on like a Google Meet call like this. It's the time difference between like when I say something and when you hear something on your end. So that's what latency is like usually called. When we think of latency, we think of it in terms of like response time. So when we say latency, we mean from the end of your statement to the start of the bot statement back. And usually with people, that latency is like 500 milliseconds or less. Sometimes people will like overlap, and before the end of my statement, you're already starting your statement. So sometimes it can even be negative for what we call latency.
I've noticed that with Vappy, you're allowed to interrupt. And I find that incredible. So from my context, it's almost like being able to interrupt the streaming when you've got like streaming tokens on a chatbot interface. It's like being able to be like, hey, shut up, I've got another thought kind of thing. That's so useful.
Like, I think, when it comes to voice conversations specifically, voice conversations are usually like really quick and snappy back and forth, but if you take an LLM that's optimized for chat and then plug it into a voice context, a lot of the time it'll just like write a full report, which is like fine in a chat context, but then the voice context, it's like a good 2 minutes of speech. So it's just like interruptions are like essential to working with these LLMs. And a lot of the time they get it wrong. And so people need to be able to like interject and correct as fast as possible.
So would that mean that you don't necessarily need a larger context window to be able to use voice assistance?
No, you still do need a context window. Like how it works on every conversation turn is every time I say, so let's say like this conversation was like a conversation with Vappy. We are keeping track of the message history back and forth, basically like a chat history. And then on every conversation turn, when I finish my statement is appended to the conversation history and then sent to OpenAI. OpenAI generates a response and then speaks the response, and then the response that OpenAI, that Vappy has spoken, goes back into the transcript. So on every conversation turn, we're passing in the full conversation context as if it's like a chat conversation.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Cool. I feel like I've jumped right into like just my own personal interest, but the way that I would describe Vappy, it's a tool, it's a developer tool, right?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
So how would you?
Yeah, I would say the developer tool is a good way of putting it. It kind of started, so for context, we were working on Superpowered for like 3 years. And then we had a moment where we were like, man, like, yeah, we really don't care about calendars that much. We kind of got burnt out on meetings. We could have grown the business, but we were just like, maybe there's something better we can do. We moved to San Francisco. And in that process, I decided it would be a good idea to build like a therapist for me to go on walks with. And then during that time, building that therapist and going on walks every day, I quickly realized like I would spend 2 hours every morning talking with this like really like shitty like AI on the phone. And it was like so bad. And it would interrupt me while I was speaking. It would take like 4 seconds to respond. It would sound like a robot. And I was like, oh, to make like really good therapy, you need really good conversation. And so I spent a lot of time on that conversation problem. And then I quickly realized like, okay, there's two, if I wanted this therapy thing, I have to solve conversation and we have to solve therapy. One of which I think I can actually solve, not therapy, probably like human conversation seems like a harder, more interesting technical problem. So we decided, okay, let's focus all of our energy there and build the infrastructure layer so that other developers like me, you know, a few months prior could have just gotten up and running a lot faster. And so we are sort of just like the voice AI developer piece, and then everybody else can come along and build different products on top of us.
Right, right, right. So I'm thinking of, is it Sonia?
Sonia's a therapist. They ended up launching on top of us, which was kind of like,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Cool. We have some people doing like sales role play. So Hyperbound is another company built on top of us. So our AI will pretend to be a customer and salespeople can like try to sell it and they act like super like rude and annoyed, and you have to keep them on the phone or they just hang up. So that's been an interesting use case. Some of the customer support stuff, like on the phone. Essentially, it's like we want to build this base layer of like human conversation ability with LLMs, and then everybody else can come along, kind of build whatever they want, regardless of industry.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That gives a lot more context and is really helpful. So I was going to ask what kind of use cases you're seeing, but it sounds quite broad. Yeah.
There's two categories. One is like existing call volume in the world. So there's like all these phone calls between consumers and businesses. A lot of that can be done by AI instead, by potentially a voice bot. So that's one side. And that's a quick way to easy revenue if you can find ways to sell to enterprises. The other side is like the consumption that doesn't exist yet, which is like Sonia, for example, like AI therapy. It wasn't possible to have AI therapy before, and now it's like a new industry. And so there's all these new startups popping up, building voice AI, things that couldn't have existed before that the technology now enables. And so that's like our larger, like long-term bet is support all these other new stuff that is just starting to exist or like is going to exist in the future.
Yeah, like category creation kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
The only experience that I've had with voice assistants in commercial use cases has been BD follow-ups, but I didn't actually know that it was voice assistant until like midway through the conversation. So it was with one of those like startup legal things that was like, hey, you're gonna need a lawyer as a company. So I went on their website, they got my email, and then they called me repeatedly and it sounded like a person for like the first minute, and then I was like, oh, this is a bot. But I can see like the sales.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's now like regulation against this kind of thing. Right, recently, like very recently. I mean, I think it's always been illegal to make calls with voice bots or something along those lines, but now it's like extra illegal, or it covers like the new LLM tech. I'm not totally sure.
Yeah, well,
I just know we can't make outbound calls in the US without consent or opt-in. So there are still some use cases where there is opt-in. Like for example, real estate is one where like you put your phone number in the listing agent's website and you press a button saying like, I consent to a phone call. Then they can give you a call with an automated machine. But otherwise it's like, it's really bad. I think you can get fined like 30 cents per call or $3 per call or something like crazy like that. It's definitely not a thing anymore. But for a little bit it was, and there were some companies seemingly profiting off of that sort of approach.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of I was watching Star Wars on the weekend, so that's where my mind is, where I'm like, you could go to the dark side, and because the capability there is you could totally just make AI girlfriends, right? Like,
there are AI girlfriends, and I think they're doing very well from what I've heard.
Yeah. Like that's what I wanted to kind of segue into. What is motivating you and your co-founder to in terms of product development, like where do you see Vappy in this space? Clearly it's not AI girlfriends.
Like I said, AI girlfriend is very interesting space. I don't know how I feel about it. Honestly, I have very mixed feelings. So far we don't have anyone building that on us, but it would definitely be a discussion if somebody wanted to. But Yeah. So where do we sit in terms of where it can be used? Essentially, I mean, from a really high level philosophical standpoint, it's like we've been talking for millions of years. Talking is really like the highest bandwidth form of communication. And so if there was an interface that was the same as actually talking to someone or something, that interface would be the highest form of highest bandwidth form of interaction, much higher bandwidth than like clicking through 7 menus to like order something on Uber Eats or you know, all these other things. Like, it at the end of the day, it's just an interface, the same way that your like phone is an interface, or the same way that like the new Apple AR thing is an interface. Voice is just another interface, and in our opinion, it is the interface that enables LLMs to really start impacting our daily life in the way that you might see in a movie like Her.
Yeah. So, because I, at the moment, I feel like a bit cringy using, I've got a Google Assistant in my car, like I've got Android Auto in my car, right? So I'm like, hey, call whoever. But you have to be very specific with the, almost, I have to sound American, otherwise it doesn't understand me. And so I'm putting on an accent to talk to my car. But I can see like the future would be multi-language capability, right?
Like, for sure. Like all of that is like, I think assumed. I think the hard part is like, how do you create something that like feels and talks like a person? That's like the real tough problem. Once you solve that, you can easily be like, okay, yeah, we can do this in Hindi now. It's fine.
Yeah.
The tough part is, or I guess the unsolved part is like, yeah, how do you make it sound and feel like a person? And I think once we have that, like once I can be like, oh shit, sorry, I forgot to get lunch. Can you order me lunch like from that place I like? And they'll be like, oh yeah, this. And we could continue to have this conversation and my lunch would be ordered. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like that's really the unlock, but we're just not there yet in terms of tech. But that's our vision, is like, we want to get to a place where we can achieve like human level performance. And that's of the company is human level performance. Everything else, like the use cases, whatever, is just like trying to drive us towards like getting towards that goal.
What do you think that is the missing bit? Is it like a data collection thing? Is it a infrastructure thing? Like,
I don't know how to get to 100%, but I know how to get, I mean, I kind of know how to get to 100%. So right now, what we're doing is we chain together a transcription model, an LLM, and a text-to-speech model. And it's sort of just like one input goes into the output, out of the output, whatever, and then audio comes in, and then audio comes out of the whole system. Once you get that latency down to like, let's say 500 milliseconds, you start to notice that it interrupts you while you speak. It's so fast. Because every time you pause, it thinks that you're done speaking, and then it talks over you. So immediately you need to figure out like, oh, like, for every pause, is that pause an end of turn, or is that pause me holding the floor? And that's like knowledge of sort of these conversational cues that exist in conversation. And that's one of many that need to be solved and need to be considered when building a conversational system. The bet is, if we cover enough of these cues and enough of these conversational nuances, eventually we can start inching up from like, I would say we're at 30% human performance, then we can start hitting 40, 50, 60. And then I think to really crack and hit 100%, we're going to need like some kind of master model, like ChatGPT, but voice in, voice out, to cover every conversational nuance. I think we can get a good proxy for it with these little fixes and smaller models. But ultimately, to solve the problem, we're going to need, I think, one big model. That can stream audio in real time and stream out its responses out in real time.
And that would be like, would that be like crowd, not, you know, like crowdsource, like crowd, like multiple different inputs, like from different people, or that would be?
Well, basically it would be like one audio stream in. So imagine like, for example, if my phone was sitting here, right? Mm-hmm. It's one audio stream, but both of our audio is being fed into it.
Okay.
Would hopefully have the intelligence to be able to distinguish the voices and then figure out what the best response would be. But yeah, there's so many of these problems. It's kind of like before ChatGPT, we had all these like kind of rule-based or like NLU, natural language sort of systems. And they worked like okay for specific use cases, but it didn't have like same like magical sort of understanding of what you're saying, and it couldn't create like the perfect response like ChatGPT does. There's going to be a similar moment in voice where we transition from these more like rule-based and these more rule-based or solving smaller problems with models to solving with one big model. I think that's going to be the real jump from like 60 to 90, 95. There's going to be this big chasm that isn't going to be crossed for a while.
I think I'm thinking of, because I hadn't heard of PlayHT.
Yeah,
I hadn't heard of them until I looked into VAPI and was playing around. I had always used 11 Labs, and then I completely stopped because even despite trying to clone my own voice, the Australian accent is, it's either like really Australian like this, or there's no nuance. And I don't understand why. I potentially because I haven't done, I'm not going to just shit all over 11 Labs, right? Potentially yeah. It's because I didn't upload 3 hours of my own, but the use case of like, hey, use a 30-second clip and then you'll have a perfect duplicate, it didn't work. But with PlayHT, there was it's different. I don't know how. Like, it just, it,
yeah. I mean, there's a reason, yeah, we put them on our landing page. They have something special, and the voices, the way they breathe or the way they intonate is it just feels more organic, that they've unlocked something more organic. I don't know what it is. I guess that's their secret sauce. But all these models are like transformer sort of architecture, which wasn't possible before. Like, kind of the switch from these sort of NLU systems to ChatGPT was really the switch to transformer architectures. It's the exact same with these, like the switch from like robotic Azure style voices to what you're seeing with PlayHT. That was the same transition to transformer style architectures, the more generative sort of feeling. So yeah, they're all generative models, but yeah, there are like, I don't know what they're doing, but there is some special extra stuff that they're doing to make it sound a lot better. And there's a lot more that's going to happen to make the voices more steerable in real time, if that makes sense.
Yeah. I was just under the impression, I'm like, well, it's magic. And that's what you're doing. You're all in the magic business. So I'm meeting, it's going to say, the title is going to be
Jordan Dearsley, the magician. I like that.
Yeah, exactly. Jordan Dearsley, the magician. Do you have a, I hate the term bullish because I think everyone uses it and they think that they're like a VC, but do you have a term, an opinion that you're really bullish on within AI or something that you wish people were less bullish about? This is just so that you can make some enemies or some friends.
Well, what I'm really bullish on, and actually I don't think anyone would disagree with me on this, but like the whole bet of the company basically is like latency is coming down from all the providers, cost is coming down, and intelligence is going up. Those are like the three trends that like we know with 100% certainty are going to continue happening. And so that leads me to our bet. Okay, actually, this makes sense. So with those three trends happening, we think in the next like 6 months or so, there is going to be an inflection point in voice AI where it suddenly becomes cheaper than hiring a human. And so all of a sudden, it's like, and you get the same performance as a human. So all of a sudden, there's like this inflection point where like, oh, actually, like we can route a lot of the simpler queries to an AI system that can be on 24/7 and leave the really complex tough stuff for the actual agents to save on bandwidth and stuff like that. And so yeah, there is going to be that moment that comes about. At the same time, there's going to be all these startups, and the wave of startups building voice AI products is going to start increasing. And at the exact same time, Siri generative is going to come out in a VAPI like style, where it's going to be conversational and it's going to just make feel more like a person. Same thing with ChatGPT voice is going to happen. And that's expected to come out in June, I think. So all at once, all of these forces are pushing in the direction of like voice AI and people wanting voice AI everywhere. So yeah, that's our bet. I wouldn't say it's necessarily like contrarian, but just more like what's contrarian is like our certainty that it's going to happen in 4 to 6 months.
That's good for VAPI because you provide the platform, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why we exist.
Right. And yeah. I forgot to mention about like the ability that you've got like a phone number thing that happens within the platform. So you can actually call, like you can have a conversation with the bot as though, like, are you able to speak to that?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, like, right. So yeah, right from the platform, we kind of wanted to make it so that people could just use it without having to necessarily be developers. Like, for example, if you're on a team and you find it, you know, you should be able to like experience it and try it without having to be like, okay, engineer XYZ, please help me. So yeah, we made it so anybody could go in and make a bot with a prompt, with a voice, put it behind a phone number if they want, and then just like call it and send it to their friends. We thought about maybe doing a consumer app or something. We haven't really like put time into it, but it could be cool to do that. But like also you can share it with people and then they can see it and then they can talk to it too, or you make it a little, make a version of yourself and talk to it. There's lots of cool stuff that people can do. It's just, we're so focused on the conversation piece. We haven't had the time to build stuff like that, but we're hoping somebody comes along and, you know, just builds that on top of us as their project. Yeah.
That's really cool. So someone I spoke to, I had on the podcast, they made like a dialer Santa and they did it for their nephew, niece.
Oh, I see.
Cool. Like they gave the phone number and they were like, oh, this is Santa's phone number. And I think they built it with 11 lamps. I was trying to test out talking to myself, like you said. My little project to myself, and I looked insane. I was like sitting here making little clips of my own voice, and I was like, called the number, I was like, hello, and I answered the phone. I was like, hello. I was like, oh, it's the future. And I was saying to my husband, like, look what's happening. He's like, we don't need more than one of you, trust me.
It's a thing. Like, I think you do need consent to clone a voice, to do a high fidelity clone. The low fidelity, I think there isn't consent required by these providers, but I think that's going to become a pretty hot topic quite soon, because I mean, there's nothing stopping people from using open source models and stringing them together and building something that can scam like at scale, right? Because you're going to have lots of unsuspecting elderly people, especially, who, you know, they think it's their granddaughter or something like that calling. As you know, the technology increases, I'm hoping that other startups start popping up that, you know, provide sort of the yin and yang, like the security technology to detect it and block it. Mm-hmm. And
well, way to be a downer, Jordan. Like, it's not true.
Now. I'm just saying, like, well, I'm optimistic. I'm actually quite optimistic that startups will come about and solve. Like, for every like advancement, there are risks, and then the risks present opportunities for new, you know, stuff to be built. So I'm hopeful. I'm generally optimistic in humanity, and I think even though it's going to be a lot of progress really fast, and I think there's going to be a bit of instability, obviously, to like employment and stuff like that. But I think overall things will work out.
That's a really, have you always been like that, or do you attribute that to, because you went through YC, or you're going through YC? I don't really know how it works.
Yeah, we went through a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think you'd be like if you didn't go through that? Do you think BAPI would exist?
Oh man, it's so hard to say. Like butterfly effect and everything. Like one moment 3 years ago. Who knows? Who knows where I would have been if one small thing could have been different? Probably not. Probably BAPI wouldn't have existed, but likely some other startup. Yeah.
I always ask the same thing. Like, if you could have invented anything, what would you invent? Anything in the world?
Invent? Like, that doesn't exist yet?
Sorry?
That doesn't exist yet?
Like, a current invention, like, you can claim the invention, or you can claim the intellectual property rights, whatever. It can be anything, like penicillin, a Band-Aid, iPad.
The iPad? Look, you could turn it. That is... I'm kind of a fanboy of the Macintosh, the original Macintosh.
Okay.
Obviously, like, I couldn't have invented it. Steve Jobs invented it. In terms of timing, it wouldn't have made sense either. But I just think like graphical user interface and making that popular was a huge step up for people. And I think maybe it is analogous to now, where like I think the same thing, like voice is going to be the next jump in interface. For for the world. So yeah, I would say I'm working on like what I would like to invent, which I'm happy about.
That's cool. You've got me thinking now about voice, because like anything with a touch screen or a touch or a, it makes me think, because I'm not the best communicator, right? So you have to be very, Kapathi was like, English is the newest programming language or whatever. And I was like, well, I'm screwed because I'm not great at communicating succinctly what I would like. And so with like prompting, I'm not great, and I tend to ramble, which you'll get from this.
Wait, podcast. So while you're prompting, you ramble?
Like while you're typing? I think I give too much detail or not enough detail, and I don't know, is that a problem with the model and its understanding, or is that a problem with me? I'm of the belief that you shouldn't have to change the way that you naturally speak for a natural language understanding or natural language processing model, right?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, like you could just output like pure garbage that kind of makes sense, and then I'm not saying you're outputting garbage, but like,
yeah,
the models need to get to a place where like you're producing like this cloud of ideas and like a mess. Mm. The one like sorting it into, you know, stuff that makes sense for like other people or for like an idea or for a book or whatever. Yeah. You should be able to ramble for 3 days and a beautiful biography of your life should come out.
Yeah. Voice is a great, great format for that. Like I've tested out something like AudioPen and then I tried to do it myself. Oh, so AudioPen is like I don't even know what you call it, like a tool that does exactly what you just said. Theoretically, and I always get to a place where there is a friction point where I end up as a user churning because I'm like, too hard. But yeah. I think, like you said, like it will get to a point where it's almost seamless.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely not contrarian to think that you know GPT-5 will be smarter than GPT-4. most definitely will. And I don't know the orders of magnitude. GPT-4 was like, at least in my opinion, orders of magnitude better than 3.5 for coding. Like I can actually rely on it to write code. 3.5, I cannot rely on it to write code. We're seeing a lot of customers of ours using GPT-4 in production for things as simple as like order taking that 3.5 can't handle reliably. So we can expect, you know, a lot more improvements as we continue scaling these things up and they find new ways to make the models more performant with less compute and stuff like that, as you know, we start investing more in the research. So yeah, generally, I think the whole world seems to be bullish. I would like to see someone come about and be like, no, I don't think it's going to work, and see what they think.
I have some people coming up on the podcast that are really a bit like that, some AI ethicists and whatnot that are quite reserved, conservative.
I think the median now, like they surveyed, I don't know, 100 or a few hundred AI research scientists. I think the median is 2027 or 2030 or something along those lines, where we'll have AGI. And I think that's pretty fair. I don't know. Like, you know that thing where like, if you ask like a large population of people like a question and then pick the average, like it's actually like very, very accurate. It's likely the same in this case where like, I guess the pool is like AI researchers, but so I don't know what the skew is, but I think 2027 is like quite fair. I mean, again, it depends on what our definition of AGI.
I was just going to say that. Yeah.
I mean, Elon is now claiming that Sam made AGI as part of his lawsuit. So who knows where we're at. I just know like we're not at the point of ubiquity yet, because the interaction is still text-based and it's going to have to be at least in part like audio and like voice-based. The output might be like a mix of audio and visual, like if you remember in the movie Her, where he's talking and the letters are being written in front of him as he's speaking and he can like read stuff as it's coming. Did you watch it recently?
I haven't watched it recently. I watched it when it first came out and I don't remember it. I'm gonna watch it again, but I just remember his stupid glasses.
His stupid glasses. I don't think they were AI glasses. You're just making fun of this guy's glasses.
I'm just being rude for no reason.
But I think the highest bandwidth the highest bandwidth combination of modalities is likely audio in and then audio and visual out or something along those lines. So I should be able to talk to my computer because I can read faster than I can hear, right? So it's likely some mix of like, hey, like, can you tell me what the whole team's up to right now? The fastest way to get audio input. Immediately it's like, yeah, sure, here you go. And I can quickly skim like a document and it can tell me everything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I'm just, again, I'm thinking just before I wrap up, but the when you said about the pauses, right, I was like, is there some option for, again, it goes with the security, I guess. It's like, I don't know, would that be called multimodality, where it's like, you know, the eye tracking kind of stuff, where it's like your phone knows when you're done because you put it down and you don't track. So would it be something like that? I'm thinking holograms. I'm just being...
Holograms. You know. Holograms. probably like Apple Vision Pro or something along those lines. That might be the better. That's still visual in at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Maybe there's like a audio in and tactile out is like the most efficient. And then who knows what tactile in would be like, but yeah, like it like hits you and you're like, oh shit, there's the thing. But yeah, it's like some combination. I can say with 100% certainty, text is just like not it at all. Like, I don't know why the West hasn't picked up on this, but it seems like in Europe at least, or not the West, you know, like North America, in Europe at least, like voice memos are like a really high bandwidth form of communication, and that works really, really well for people. And it's much more natural of a modality for them. I don't know why it hasn't translated necessarily here in North America.
It's big with my friend group.
Interesting.
Like, yeah. We're on our own little podcast, and I just listen to my friend, and she sends me voice notes, and I'm like, oh. Just hearing about nonsense. It's a big thing. I think it's a big thing with Gen Z as well.
I wonder why. I don't know what starts these kind of trends.
Your thumbs are tired, man.
Yeah, actually though. Like it's crazy. But and then obviously there is down the line brain interfaces and stuff, but it's still a little sci-fi.
What did you say, brain?
Yeah, like brain interfaces. Yeah, like I think that's a whole other level of, you know, the future that I have no understanding of, but I would imagine that that would be the highest bandwidth form of communication with you and your device eventually.
Mm. Would you do that, like Neuralink?
That's a good question. I definitely wouldn't get the V1. I got the first Apple Watch. It was really slow. So probably wouldn't want the inch diameter, you know, one. But if it was like that big, I might consider it. Maybe V4 of the chip. I'm not sure. Would you get it?
I'd be worried about like malware or display ads, or like what would their version of phishing be? Because you imagine if you're sitting there and you're just like spacing out and it's like, oh, sorry. I'm under DDoS.
I think there was a episode of Futurama about that or something.
Oh, really?
Yeah, where he got ads in his sleep, like while he was dreaming.
Yeah. I actually remember that. Yeah, exactly. Where is the best place to find you and not your co-founder, because he's really rude. I'm just kidding.
He's not rude. Okay. For context for everybody watching this, she DM'd my co-founder, but I was using his LinkedIn account and I wasn't rude as him, but best place to find us. You can follow Vappy AI on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitter or LinkedIn, I think, but LinkedIn's not the cool place anymore. So probably Twitter, or just check out our website and email us if you're building something, and then we can help.
Very good. All right. Thank you for being on
the show. It was a lot of fun. Awesome. I really appreciate it.
Cheers. I'm going to stop recording. Bye.
That wraps up this week's episode of Unsupervised Learning. I'm your host, Renee, and I've had a great time chatting with you. As always, links to everything we discussed will be in the show notes. Make sure you reach out to our guests. Questions or feedback, reach out to pod@unsupervisedlearning.co. Until then, leave a like, follow, or rating on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or YouTube. And until next week, stay curious.